Aloha, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Welcome to The Body Show. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite activities, which is going outside and being in the sun. It may not be as good for you as you might have thought years ago, and there are some ways that you can determine if you actually have some sun damage to your skin, and some great ways that you can protect yourself so that you can avoid too much exposure to our friends the UVA and UVB rays. Joining me today is Dr. Kevin Castle. He is Associate Professor at the University of Hawaii Cancer Center and the Associate Director of the Community Outreach and Engagement Group over there as well. So today we're going to be talking about the sun and a mobile sun educational unit. This is something that I wish was around when I was young and not so smart about sun exposure. What made you so passionate about educating people about our sun?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate that. So part of our initiative, because we're here in Hawaii and so proximal to the equator, our risk for skin cancers and overexposure to UV radiation is pretty high. So one of the things that we want to do is to make sure people can enjoy the sun responsibly, but actually prevent skin cancers later in life. And one of the ways to do that is to practice some preventative behaviors. So that's the purpose of our skin check vehicle, is to actually go to different communities and talk about skin cancer prevention methods, which is namely preventing getting extreme exposures to UVA and UVB radiation, also known as sunburns.
So now, when it's most important are the ages I've already passed. So the biggest risk often I hear is when you're young and you're not thinking of trying to prevent yourself from getting sunburns. You know, when I was younger, it was kind of cool to get a tan over the summer. I did grow up on the East Coast, so I didn't have as much equator-based on sun exposure. But I remember the old adage that said, okay, so if it's between 10 and 2, you kind of don't want to be out in the bright sun. So we would go to the beach as kids, and we would hang out under the umbrella, but then when it was after 2 o'clock, we could go out in the sun. So that was appropriate maybe 20, 30 years ago, and if not longer. And yet that was also for a different level of sun exposure. What's the age group that you're trying to educate now? When does this sun exposure have the most impact?
So we're actually trying to prevent skin cancer risk for all age groups. In young adults or young infants, we want to prevent overexposure for that group as well, from 0 to age 10. We want to reduce the amount of sunburns or the opportunity for getting sunburns. We're also mindful and vigilant for age groups between 50 and 30 because they're at higher risk for melanoma. The thing about it is that skin cancer risk and exposure to UV ultraviolet radiation is cumulative over the lifetime. So we really want to be vigilant no matter what age we are. After age 30, you still want to be mindful of exposure, overexposure between the hours and 10 and 4. You want to practice sun protective behaviors, wearing protective clothing when possible, long sleeve shirts, protective eyewear, hats. Hydrating is very important as well. And when those are not available, you know, if you're doing athletic activities outside, wearing sunscreen that has a UV protective factor of at least 30 or above.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. You mentioned that wearing protective hats, protective eyewear. Is any hat good? Are any sunglasses good, or are there certain elements of those products that you're looking for?
So that's a great question, and thanks for asking that. For protective clothing, the ideal clothing is one where you hold it up to the light and you can't see through it. It's basically the density of the weave. And most clothing has enough density that it will be protective. Same thing with hats. But the idea with hats is you want to use wide brim hats. A lot of people wear the baseball caps, but it's actually better to have a wide brim cap of at least 3 inches or more if possible, especially when you're out in the midday sun or when the sun is at its apex in the sky. So those are important features. For the eyeglasses, you want to have the protective layer of polarization that can prevent damaging rays from reaching your retina.
So regular glasses that are not polarized are a little different than polarized.
yes, they're not going to be as protective. But again, that's a really a discussion for you. Want to, as you mentioned, talk with your primary care physician, talk with your ophthalmologist, and make sure that you're practicing or have the right equipment for your eyewear.
And you said any clothing that you really can't see through. I've seen sort of sun shirts and swim shirts that are sold that seem to be a tighter knit, and they have UV ratings on it.
Yep.
So not every clothing is going to have that, because you might be outside taking a walk during your lunch hour that isn't necessarily in, you know, beachwear. But is it, how important is it to have that rating for the clothing, or is it really just the weave?
It's really just the weave. You know, some people, depending on what they're doing outside, want a tight weave clothing, but will have want something more lightweight. For instance, if you're getting into the water, you want clothing that's not going to be weighed down and be as burdensome with that particular clothing. But as long as the clothing has the tight enough weave that it will shield some of the light from coming in, then that should be good enough. There are specific brands. If you're like a fisherman or someone who has or working an outdoor worker, construction worker, you may want to check into looking at the newer fabrics that are lightweight, water wicking, and have that protection factor built in. They'll tell you there's a rating similar to SPF. There's a UPF, Universal Protective Factor, which is similar to SPF, which is a sun protection factor. And what that does, it gives you an assessment of how much exposure you will get over time from the radiation from the sun. So like SPF, you want a SPF factor of at least 30 or above. The most important thing with wearing sunscreens is to reapply. You know, a lot of people will put on sunscreen early in the morning, but if they're out in athletic activities, they may not reapply. So we want people to make sure that they reapply when needed for, you know, sunscreen. But the most important thing is to wear those protective clothing, those protective barriers from the sun.
So you're wearing clothing. What about just hanging out in the shade? Does that help you? Can the sun like reflect off of the sand or reflect off of the water or just reflect off of whatever?
That's a good point. The shade is actually very good as well. But you want to be mindful of where that shade is. There is a certain amount of reflectance that comes up, you know, particularly at the beach. You know, if you're under the shade at the beach, there is a certain amount that's going to reflect and be reaching you. There are certain reflective patterns depending on the terrain. The water is the most reflective, and that's why people, when they're in the water, they can actually double their UV exposure because of that reflectance. But shade is really important. As much as you can utilize shade and places where there's not a lot of reflection, grassy areas are pretty good. But sand, of course, would not be as good as a grassy area. But shade is one of the important features, you know, seeking shade, wearing UV protective clothing, eyewear, those kind of things.
Double the sun exposure in the water with the reflection. That's something I haven't thought of. All right, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Kevin Castle about other ways to protect yourself should you want to go outside and play and it's a bright sunny day. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, Bavarian Motor Experts, and Chaminade University.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm here with Dr. Kevin Castle. He's the Associate Professor at UH Cancer Center and a Director of Community Outreach and Engagement. And today we're talking about ways to be out in the sun and be safe. And right before the break, you educated me about the fact that if I'm in the ocean and I'm out in the sun, not only do I get the sun reflection, I get the double impact of the water reflection of the sun. Okay, that explains a lot. Now, cloudy days, I can just forget everything in the cloudy days. There's no exposure, or should I be extra careful?
Well, you should be extra careful because even though you may not feel the effect of the sun and UV radiation, it still gets through. So you want to be mindful, use the same type of, or same level of UV protection that you would on sunny days, especially here, again, because we're so proximal to the equator, the sun rays are more direct, and they can have more damaging effect.
Now, you mentioned about sun protection factor, that SPF. And a few years ago, they were looking at chemical sunscreens, barrier sunscreens, found that, in fact, the chemical sunscreens may not be as safe for the reef. So now I don't think they're available as much. You have to get barrier sunscreens. These are more of your titanium oxide and some of the other types of barrier sunscreen creams that you can find. Now, you mentioned that you have to reapply it if you're out there doing something athletic. Some of the sunscreens say waterproof, some of them say water resistant, some of them don't say that at all. How do you know, and how often should you reapply?
You should reapply at least every 2 hours, every hour if you're sweating. The type of sunscreen, you know, this is what dermatologists tell me, is the one that you use every day and use frequently. You know, there are a lot of different sunscreen formulations depending on what the ingredients would be. There are some ingredients that are supposedly toxic for a certain environmental condition. The jury's still out on that. I was actually part of the National Engineering Science and Medicine Task Force that looked at the risk for the environment as well as for humans for different types of sunscreen formulations. So the jury's still out about sunscreen. The most important thing is the formulations have changed. The ingredients that were in question are no longer sold here. But the most important thing is people should not use sunscreen. They should use sunscreen, particularly the one that they feel is the most comfortable for them. For me, I use a sunscreen every morning, even though I'm African-American. I have a darker complexion. My dermatologist tells me I have a sun protection factor of 5. So that means if I burn in 5 minutes, then normally without sun protection, that means I'll burn in 25 minutes. I'm going to burn one way or another. So, and remember, the burning is the damage. So we don't want to have the damage. So everyone should use some type of sun protection to prevent that risk for that damage. So that's the main message I can talk about in terms of sunscreen protection.
Well, and you brought up a good point, which is the best sunscreen for you is the one you wear every day, the one you reapply often enough. And here in the islands, if you're visiting, you know, you can go to any pharmacy or any grocery store and you can buy a sunscreen, and that's something that's sold here and available. And if you live here, then don't underestimate that you're here all year round.
Exactly.
And that equatorial sun is stronger than even where I grew up. So, and there it was only sunny a few months of the year. Here it's sunny all year round.
That's right.
So do not underestimate the potential effect on your skin of the sun. Now, there are some other things that you've talked a little bit about regarding risks for sun exposure, and there are some really interesting ways that you found to engage with the public about educating them about it. In the mobile van that you have, there are some really cool tools that I kind of want to use one of those, but I'm a little scared to see the results. What are some of the fun tips that you're able to share with the public if they were to see the van and engage with the van and try and figure out what do I need to know about sun exposure?
Great. Thank you for that question. So we have a lot of fun tools. That's the whole idea, is to get people to come out, you know, examine for themselves their own risk for sun or need for sun protection, and look at some of the interesting findings that we can, you know, demonstrate for them. We have a UV camera, so we can actually take a picture of the person and see the immediate damage that has been done from overexposure to the sun. We can see that damage as spots or lesions that are precursory to their overexposure and their risk for skin cancers. We have some, yeah. So that's a nice little tool.
So, like, you could take a picture of me and say, here's your sun-exposed areas. Here's where you've already caused some troubles.
Exactly.
Do you have it with you here? I want to take this picture. I'm going to go find your van because I'm scared of that, but I think it's actually going to be really helpful.
Yeah, it is. And you know what we do in context with that, we actually put sunscreen on people so they can see the beneficial effect of sunscreen and how it's protecting their skin from that UV exposure. So people can see, you know, this is what your skin looked like before you applied sunscreen. This is what it looks like after you apply sunscreen. So it's a really strong effect, especially for younger people, so they can see the benefit immediately of wearing sunscreen and using protective clothing. So that's one of the tools.
I've often felt you could actually feel it. Like if you go out in the sun and then you're like, oh, I got to go put on my sunscreen. So you hop back into the shade, you put on your sunscreen. You go out again and it feels better. Like you just don't feel like you're burning.
That's
and so it's a physical effect. But boy, I'd love to see it in an image, in a color coded image. That would be that. That's only one of the cool tools you have. There's another one. Tell me about the photo aging software. Now I'm scared, but I think I need it.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's really fun with the kids. So what we can do is we can take a picture of a person, you know, and enter into the program their sun exposure habits, and we can actually photo age them over 10, 20, 30 years so they can see what the damage, the cumulative damage would be from their lifetime exposure from not practicing sun protection behaviors versus if they did practice sun protection behaviors. So kids, you know, a lot of kids, you know, the lifetime risk is cumulative over time and you may not see the damage immediately. But a tool like that gets them to see the long-term effects, the cumulative effects, and it really, you know, brings home the message of I should protect myself now rather than later when the damage is done.
So you can do the photo aging. Show somebody if you didn't do any good sun protection behaviors, this is what you could look like in 30 years.
Exactly.
And can you also show the comparison of if you do good sun behaviors, this is what you'll look like?
Right. That's the key message is to showing them practicing sun protection will limit your aging and your burning rates, and it'll show up in your appearance over time. So that's one of the key messages that we can put forward.
I'm scared of that, but I kind of want to see it, too.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
You know, did you do it for yourself?
I did it for myself, but yeah, I did. But, you know, the damage for me is I'm pretty up there, pretty mature, as I would say. So.
But still, I don't know. I think, you know, there was a couple of years ago they had this aging software that somehow was on, I don't know, one of the social media sites or something. And I was so tempted to be like, yes, I want to see what I would look like in 20 or 30 years. And I'm like, but no, I don't. So I didn't do it. So I could go to the mobile skin education unit and I could get this testing done. And if I do it, I'll somehow get that photo out there because that would be scary. So that's another one of the potential tools that could really help educate people about the importance of being extra careful in the sun. Are there any other fun things?
Yeah, we do. We have what's called a photospectrometer, a meximeter, and that's a really nice little instrument. The reason we have that is we can actually demonstrate whether or not people have been practicing sun protection behaviors after they've been educated. Oftentimes you'll ask someone, well, have you been practicing? Of course, they're going to say yes.
Yeah, I say I floss every day, and then the dentist says, really? I don't believe you. And then I have to prove it to him. So, okay. So this is like, oh, you tell me you wear sunscreen every day, and now I'm going to tell you if this is a white lie or not. So, okay. So this is interesting.
So what we do is we look at the reflectance on the back of your arm. It gives us a melanin level as well as an erythema level. So it tells us how much burning has taken place as well as how much pigmentation has taken place over the lifetime, the cumulative exposure.
I'm looking at my arms and I'm not so happy. Okay.
You're doing okay.
All right. But that's not the only area. So you take a look at the most sun exposed.
Most sun exposed. And then we take the picture of the inside of the armpit where the sleeves will cover and your body will cover. And typically that's an indication of your natal skin complexion or skin tone. So we can look at the difference and get an effect, a lifetime effect of exposure and practicing sun protection behaviors. And then we can actually look at the cumulative exposure over time and see if this has increased or not. And if it hasn't increased, then that's usually good. So we do that for our audiences at the Skin Check Band just to give them a sense. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are doing well here in Hawaii. They understand the risk factors and they, you know, practice the sun protective behaviors, and it shows up in the data. And it's really important for them to reinforce that message and that they can see that, hey, what I'm doing is having some effect.
Fantastic. I don't know if I would skew your data the wrong way. All right, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm here with Dr. Kevin Castle. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the mobile skin check van. Where is it going? What could you expect if you were to engage with the van and get some education? And we'll review some of the healthy sun tips. So if you want to be out there enjoying the sun this summer or all year round, you'll know how to do it and keep your skin protected. We'll be right back.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company, and Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, getting educated today by Dr. Kevin Castle. He's the associate professor at UH Cancer Center and a director of community outreach and engagement. And we're talking about a mobile skin check van. Now, so far, we've talked about ways that you can avoid exposing your sun unnecessarily, being careful with your clothing, wearing a hat that has a wide enough brim to protect you, getting sunglasses that are polarized or that are able to protect your eyes from sun exposure, because believe it or not, your eyes actually come embryologically from in the same area as the skin. So, you know, it's literally you have to protect it just like you would your skin. But we've also talked about the mobile skin check van and how this is where you can do a self-assessment, find out what are your current behaviors, what are your risk factors. And then there's a couple of fun things you can do, which include finding out what your aging will look like if you don't do sun protective exposure prevention. And that's something I've got to do. And then also taking a look at your arm, the forearms, one of the areas that are often exposed depending on the weather, and taking a look at that in compared to an area that's not as well exposed. Do you have a lot of cumulative damage over time? The goal to prevent skin cancer, to help keep people's skin healthy. It's melanoma, which is a risk when you have younger age groups with burns and sunburns, but it's also your squamous cell and your basal cell and other types of skin cancers that are also associated with sun exposure. And again, you mentioned cumulative exposure over a lifetime. So it's not just, hey, I'm over 30, I don't have to worry. It's, hey, I'm still out there doing fun stuff and I need to be mindful of what's going on with my skin and my protection. So you mentioned that trying to avoid sunburns is really the key.
Right.
Is there a certain number of, I don't want to say allowable sunburns, because I think the answer is zero, but is there a certain like expectation that, you know, this may have happened when you're younger, but there's still a value in preventing it going forward?
Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of people, the risk for melanoma is cumulative and it's life-threatening. That's a life-threatening form of skin cancer. Basal and squamous cell cancers are not, they don't penetrate, the actual cells that are affected are not as deep in the layers of the skin, and they don't have the opportunity to metastasize or spread as readily as squamous or basal cell cancers. However, there is an increased risk. The idea that you will need to, the treatment is excision. So lopping off, you know, sun-exposed areas of your face, your arms and legs, it's not cosmetically appealing, and it has a morbidity effect. It may affect things like speech, vision, and those types of things. And you may just run out of skin to be able to graft onto those areas. So we want to just make sure people are aware of the risk for even those types of skin cancers that may not be life-threatening, but we have a high rate of damage and morbidity from those types of cancers.
So now you've got a mobile skin check van.
Yeah.
Who's in there and where's it going?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking it. Because I want to, you know, give a shout out to the John A. Burns School of Medicine. They have a dermatology interest group. So these are medical students that are interested in dermatology. So they actually staff the skin check van for us, as well as, you know, our research coordinator or program manager from the University of Hawaii Cancer Center. So these are medical students, and they learn about sun protection education, and they get a chance to go out and practice their patient education skills, you know, with these tools that we give them. We have a flip chart that educates the public on the spot about skin cancer risk, and people can win prizes, including sunscreen and hats and things like that. And then it gives the opportunity for the public to learn directly and to field questions with these dermatology students who can answer most of them. Of course, the most important person to talk to is the primary care physician or the doctor, but at least they'll get some awareness about the sun protection behaviors. And it's a nice little fun, interactive way to get out and have some fun as we're at these venues. So we plan to go to different venues across the state. We like to attend a lot of the water sport activities. We want to go to parks, any outdoor setting. We're going to be at farmers markets where people are outdoors and we can educate them. So really just an opportunity to have fun, you know, have the kids out. We have games for the kids that they can play and experience, you know, their level of understanding about sun protection and just really engage the community.
And this just started. This is a recent phenomenon.
Yeah, we just launched the vehicle on April 20th at Kalihi District Park. It was a really well-attended event, and we're looking at other venues. So we're mapping out. We have a skin check calendar. So you can go to skincheck@cc.hawaii.edu to get our calendar of events, and it'll be populated very soon. Or you can call our program manager, Gabriella, at 808-564-3809 to get more information about the events that we're planning.
And so you had one already.
Yes.
You had a big turnout.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
Great for the students. They get to practice educating the public and educating patients. One of the great activities you can do as a medical student that, you know, you start to learn something and then you learn how to teach it to other people. Always good.
Yeah.
And then you also have the public that can come and learn more about their sun risks and do those scary photo aging events that I now seem to really want to go do. And then also see what their cumulative level of sun exposure has been, with the idea that it's going to motivate them to do something different.
That's right. That's the plan, is to really practice sun protective behaviors year round.
And you mentioned wearing a hat, certain kinds of hats, wide brim, certain kinds of glasses, certain kinds of clothing, get your sunscreen. What are some other tips that people learn about when they go to the mobile skin check van?
Well, so one of the things is you want people to be vigilant about their own bodies. You know, if you have sun exposed areas or moles, nevi we call them, that may be in sun exposed areas, you want to be mindful of those and monitor them very frequently. Typically, there's the A, B, C, D, E pattern that you want to look at and examine these lesions. You want to look for asymmetry, you know, that the lesions look the same as you cut them in half and there's asymmetry, one half looks the same as the other. Then you want to look at B, which is the borders. You want to have defined borders rather than borders that are ill-defined and, you know, nebulous. So you want to make sure that those lesions have those. The other thing is color. You want to make sure that the moles are the same color throughout the mole itself. So that's the A, B, C. Then the next thing is the diameter. Most moles look about the size of a pencil eraser. They get a little bit bigger than that, then there's area, it's a cause to be concerned about that. And then finally is evolution. If the mole has changed over time, then it's something you want. Any one of those characteristics, if you see changes in them, make an appointment with your dermatologist or your primary care physician and have it looked at, have it checked out. Most likely it's not anything, but you want to make sure and be careful.
Yeah, it could be serious. You want to get them checked out. And I know that there's certainly a lot of different techniques in making sure that your mole is checked appropriately. It can be excised. There's some new equipment out there that's actually looking at using artificial intelligence to determine if a mole needs further attention or not. Yeah. And to me, that's another exciting way that we're bringing skin cancer even further into the future.
Well,
so for people who want to find out about the mobile van again, where can they access that calendar?
The calendar is at skincheck@cc.hawaii.edu.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your expertise with us here on The Body Show. If you'd like to hear the show again, you can click on hpr.org, follow the links to The Body Show. You can also find us on the HPR app. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and we will be here next week, as we are every Monday at 6:30 on Hawaii Public Radio. And I am going to have to check out the mobile skin check van and see what I'm going to look like in 30 years. That's scary enough to make me want to go to that website and find you. All right. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week.